This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Inside MSide. We're excited to bring the stories of our alumni, our students, our faculty, and everyone to a broader audience. Today is no exception. I'm excited to be sitting at the table with the Vogan Reefs and just have a conversation about their experience at Morningside and what they've gone on to do. I'm Alex Waters, your Alumni Engagement Director, host for this episode. Please introduce yourself, Chris. I'll start with you.
Yeah, Chris Vogan Reef, graduate of 1994. Yeah, and originally from Kingsley, Iowa.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Joy Vogan Reef. I'm a graduate of Morningside from 95, and I graduated with an elementary education and early childhood degree.
Okay, there you go. And I was going to ask, Chris, what was your major back in the day?
I was a business major, but actually I came and I was corporate comm. That was a brand new major at that time.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do mass comm with a business minor.
Yeah.
And it was only a few extra classes to get the corporate communications major. So I ended up getting corporate comm and a business major. So I just doubled in those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one of the fun things that I like, especially when I bring alumni back to campus, is talking just a little bit about their journey of what brought them to Morningside. And so thinking back to when you were making a decision, because we have so many prospective students and now there are so many different colleges and opportunities for students to really pursue. Do you remember what stood out to you about Morningside? Maybe why you chose to come here?
Well, I came a lot earlier. So do you want me to go first?
So I
grew up in the Kingsley area, but then we moved over to North Central Iowa, over by Mason City, called Hampton-Dumont. So I went to junior high and high school over there. But a lot of my family and relatives were still over here in Northwest Iowa because we farmed out in Kingsley.
Sure.
I grew up taking hogs to the stockyards off the farm. That
Okay.
was a big
going
night.
Fast here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big night, Saturday night. If we got to take a load of hogs and then we get to go to Tasty In-N-Out afterwards, that was a big Saturday night.
Yeah, now I'm craving some onion chips. Here we go.
Yeah, so I was very familiar with Sioux City. Had moved over to Hampton, and I kind of liked the idea of a smaller school. So I was kind of focused on you and I or Morningside, and I think I looked at Iowa State too, but I really liked the idea of a smaller private school, and I also kind of wanted to keep playing baseball because I'd loved it in high school.
Yeah,
and I knew, you know, I couldn't do that at UNI, but Coach Shulton, Jim Shulton, I think his son's.
Yep.
I haven't even heard if he got in.
Or, JD won last night.
Well,
last
he was unopposed, I guess.
Yep, correct.
So yeah, his dad was my baseball coach. And so I just walked on. And what brought me here, what helped me make the decision was I went through that president's scholarship competition.
Okay.
I don't know if they still do that.
Yeah.
But that made it pretty much financially equal to any of the state schools.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, if I could go here, play some baseball, and get to do a lot more hands-on things than I would at those bigger schools,
mm-hmm.
and it's financially about equal,
mm-hmm.
that's what made me choose Morningside.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you're exactly right, is you have this notion that a state school is going to be so much cheaper, and then you might even want to go to something where you have more of the smaller class sizes and things like that of a smaller institution like Morningside. But then you fear that it might be so much more expensive when
mm-hmm.
I think your experience is what a lot of our students have had of the experiences. Gosh, the cost is so comparable and so similar that then you look at the experience itself and Morningside will win out.
Yeah. And I saw, you know, freshman year, I'd have a professor and we'd have 200, 300 kids at Iowa State in a class.
Yep.
And here I knew I was real involved in high school mm-hmm. and I knew if I went to a smaller place, I could get involved in a lot of different things that probably wouldn't be able to at the big schools. And my dad went here. My dad graduated in 71.
Okay.
and my mom went here for a year before they got married. So I knew about it.
Yeah.
But that was basically how I knew about Morningside.
Well, that's awesome. Then, Joy, talk to me, yeah, a little bit about your experience.
Okay, so I was attending Iowa State University, mm-hmm. and Chris and I were dating at the time, and he proposed, and we were juniors in college when he proposed, and so then, you know, I don't want to say I had to come to Morningside,
yeah,
but I came to Morningside, and what's funny about it is, I loved it. I thought Iowa State was too big for my own personal preference. So coming to Morningside was just like I felt at home, and they took all my credits as a transfer, which, you know, like I said, I was a junior by then. So for them to take those credits, it was harder back then. They wouldn't accept, a lot of colleges wouldn't accept your credits if you transferred. So I think nowadays the colleges work so much better for those students that are transferring in. So mm-hmm. we lived in married housing in the basement of Dimmitt our senior year. And
with a lot of international students, athletes.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily married.
All married housing.
Yeah, right.
It was a mix.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was perfect. It was all we needed. And yeah, I really have enjoyed, you know, being a part of it now that I've, you know, for since sure. 95. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you had 2 years at Morningside? Is that what you did your junior year? And then
I did do an extra year just because I decided to double major in the early childhood, which, you know, not many colleges even offered that as a major back then. So,
yeah. And so what was your experience like then going from a large institution like ISU to then Morningside? Did you get involved in a lot of things? Or I know, Chris, you had mentioned you played baseball here on campus. What was that time like for the two of you of getting involved on campus?
Well, I think it definitely helped knowing Chris and coming, you know, he was a freshman here, and so I'd come visit him, and so I'd get to know the people in his fraternity, and you know, every other weekend or when I would come to Sioux City, you know, seeing those same people, and it was just nice walking through campus and recognizing people where, you know, at the bigger university you don't have that so much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it doesn't quite feel the same with family when every room you step into, you might not have one person that was mm-hmm. in a similar class or a cohort or something.
Well, in the relationships I had with my professors for only being here 2 years, you know, it was remarkable that I got to know them so much better than I would have gotten to know other professors. And and the one thing with the education program at Morningside, I was only here 2 years, but I had 9 practicums.
Wow.
And that's what I needed. I needed to go out to the schools. I needed to see what, you know, age level kids I wanted to teach. And
yeah.
So that was really impressive.
Yeah, we have this hashtag or mantra, if you will, that it's like experience matters. And so we talk about that all the time. We talk about the internships you can get, the practicums you do, just that on-job training. That can be so influential, especially early on, whether you're teaching and you're learning a little bit about what age range you might want to teach, or just even if teaching is for you, right? Like
right.
I talk to exploring students all the time that sometimes that can be the best indicator of whether you want to continue with that major or whether your heart is pulling you somewhere else.
Definitely.
And I think that it's that type of experience that is really beneficial that you get at Morningside.
Yeah, and that was another reason I liked Morningside, is because when you look at the ratio of college students versus the size of the business community,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a pretty good-sized metro,
yes.
and we have very few college students. So I knew the internship opportunities would be pretty good compared to being in a Ames, Iowa, or
yeah.
a Iowa City, and you know, you're competing with so many
exactly.
other kids. But here the opportunities are really good
Yeah.
For the ratio.
Well, and especially even back then, and especially true today, we have so many multinational corporations, I mean, large companies that employ a ton of people all over the country. So really, it's those relationships that we have with those companies to be able to get you a foot in the door and make that introduction. And Stacy, you know, in career services, and I always say, you know, chances are we know someone at a company if you're interested, and we can at least get your foot in the door and make that introduction. And you're not competing, like you said, with hundreds of people for that one or two internship spot. We're making a phone call and saying, we really believe in this student if you'd be willing to consider that.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And so now after college, talk to me a little bit about your career early on and maybe what you've gone on to do or where we're at today.
Well, I always thought that we would end up back in Central Iowa, you know, go back to the area where we lived. But Chris had already made so many connections here. And I mean, he was young, he was only like 22. And he said, I can't leave now. I know too many people.
Yeah.
and it was true. I mean, he did know so many people because of his experience here. But I started teaching Emerson, Nebraska. I've taught in South Sioux. I opened my own preschool with my friend Chris Wonkum. I've taught in the Catholic schools here in Sioux City, and I feel like, you know, because of my education here, I was ready to get out and do everything that I did. So 22 years of teaching.
Wow.
And I will tell you, it's not easy for a Central Iowa person or anywhere east of I-35 to move to Sioux City, Iowa. Yeah. That's not easy.
I didn't even know
they don't
where,
even
Sioux,
know
City
where
was.
Sioux City is.
When he said he was going to college in Morningside, I had no idea.
Can you find Sioux City on the map?
Yeah, this is like a cow town out west to these people east of I-35.
Oh, I have a number of meetings in Des Moines, and I always remind them, you know, Sioux City is the fourth largest city in Iowa.
Right.
We are out on the west coast, if you will.
Exactly. So it took her a while to understand why I liked it.
Yeah.
Because it's foreign to...
Well, and it's very similar to what you said about Morningside, right? Is that it's that good size, it's that family feel, you know, you're going to get a rich experience, you're going to meet and know people. And in that same way, I think that that's almost Sioux City, right? It's a large enough place where you can really thrive in whatever career you choose to go into, but it's intimate enough that you know people and you can connect with them or network with them or see them at church or at fundraisers or what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still got the small town feel.
So, Chris, Mr. Networking, after graduation, talk to me about what that trajectory was like. You were a corporate comm, you said.
Yeah, corporate comm and business.
Into, yeah.
So I knew I wanted to be, I thought I was going to do PR or something like that, but I ended up kind of focusing more on business. And first job out of college, Tom Rice lined me up, hooked me up with Dave Anderson. Can't remember what year Dave was a Morningside alum.
Yeah.
He's in Fargo now. But Tom Rice hooked me up with Dave Anderson at, it's now called Downtown Partners. Back then it was called Main Street Sioux City.
Yeah.
So I worked there. That was my first job out of college, thanks to Tom. And then...
And we still have a Morningside alum at the helm of that now. She's been on the podcast, Reagan Cody. Yep.
Yeah, Reagan's there. Yeah. Yep. And so did that for about a year. And then... I got to know a lot of the downtown business owners and community leaders. And then so when Tom Latham got elected to Congress, they were looking for somebody to run the Sioux City office.
Yeah.
So I did that for about a year. And then an opportunity came up at Dakota Dunes Development Company, which was part of MidAmerican Energy. Mm-hmm. So I went out there and did the marketing for the community. And then also did the commercial sales for all the land out in Dakota Dunes.
Gotcha.
So I was working with all the developers in this area, trying to get them to speculate on a building or bring a client and build a new building out there. We were just trying to get Dakota Dunes developed. And they would send me around the Midwest. They'd send me to Minneapolis. They send me to high tax states to try to get companies to put something in South Dakota because there's no income tax, no corporate income tax. So that was my job for about 8 years, is recruiting companies to invest in Dakota Dunes. Yeah. So through that, I got to know a lot of developers and people in the commercial real estate world. So when we were getting, we knew that wouldn't last forever, that career, because when you're out of land, you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was at a point, Kyle Kelly had just been in the business for a little bit, for a year or so with Davenport, and I had listed some properties with them at the Dunes to try to get a little extra exposure. And Kyle and I got along really well. And Kyle said, why don't you come into commercial real estate? You already know all the players. So that was a natural fit. So I went with Davenport, Kyle Kelly, and we did that for 2.5 years, three years. And then Kyle and I both decided we wanted to start our own company. So he's building houses now, and I have a commercial real estate firm. And so founded that in 2005, partnered with United Real Estate Solutions. We created a new commercial company in 2005 and been doing that ever since. And just been trying to build that and grow that, and mostly growing it with interns. Almost every intern I've had there has ended up staying. One of them turned into a teacher, but all the rest stayed.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are Morningside alum.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that that's such a cool layer too of the story of working with you as well, because I've had the pleasure of getting to know some of those interns or connecting. I know Stacy, I think, connected Nick with your firm, and just really then saw his career blossom and how he's been able to do working with you. And I know, Joy, you had some experience with Morningside students as well. Chris, why don't you take us down that path? You were talking about interns with the company.
Yeah.
Talk about some of what that experience is. I know it was meaningful in both of your time at Morningside, but really then what you saw working with some of those
people. I had done some as Joy was doing practicums, I was doing internships.
Yeah.
I did one with I did a marketing internship with Great West Casualty,
which,
I mean, for a community our size to have an opportunity like that. Great West is
number one
trucking insurance company in the country.
Yep.
And I got to work with their marketing people.
Yeah.
Ended up doing videos for them, did a Christmas video, did all kinds of stuff. And then, where else did I do internships? Oh, I'm drawing a blank.
You can tell when they're
a good
married couple, and he looks over to the wife and is like, remind me where I was.
I did several internships in town, but I just can't remember where they were, but they were very good.
Yeah.
And because of that, it made it so easy for me to do that once I had my own business.
To pay it forward.
Yeah, for sure. Pay it forward. Bring some young people in, see if they like it. The first one was that was from Morningside was Nathan Connolly. His father had a construction company, development company. So he was interested in the business. And so Nathan interned and then ended up being a very successful agent.
Still in the area.
Still doing it. And now he's doing some brokerage and working with his father on the construction company. And then another Morningside alum is Nick Madsen, who you mentioned. He is a wrestler here. He's from Lamar's. I've actually turned down several interns who were from, even if they're from Morningside, if they grew up in Omaha or Des Moines or anywhere east of here, I don't really try as hard because they're less apt to stick around. But if they're from Northwest Iowa or anywhere in Nebraska, anywhere in South Dakota, they tend to really end up staying in the area long term.
See an opportunity for your future.
And Nick was from Lamar's. So he grew up here, and he was a wrestler.
Gave him a pass, at least.
No, yeah, he was
Yeah,
and he was a wrestler, so I knew he was a hard worker because he wrestled all 4 years.
Yep.
So you know he's driven, and man, he's driven.
He's driven.
Yeah.
To say that is an understatement would be, for sure.
Yeah, no, he's a great kid, and he's already having a very successful career. But that was definitely a Morningside connection.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, had good success with internships.
Yeah, and being able to see them. And now, too, what I love is the ability for it to pay forward with your company. I mean, now you're able to train and bring these interns in, light a fire underneath them. I mean, Nick got excited about the opportunity once he met with you and I think Bo and some others and just had those conversations and was like, this is what I want to do. You give them the opportunity and then you can just watch their career flourish as well.
It's so fun to watch. Yeah. It's so fun to watch.
And Joy, I know you had a lot of experience as well, welcoming Morningsiders kind of into your classroom and working with them. Talk to me about that experience.
So every year we get an email from our principal saying, you know, Briarcliff needs classrooms for student teachers or for practicum students. And then we get another one, Morningside students need a place to observe. And I'd always signed up for those Morningside students just because I knew how important my practicums were for me when I was in college, and the best way for them to know what age they want to teach or, you know, what specialty, if they want to do special ed, if they want to do ELL, they know once they're in these classrooms and in these schools. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like the light comes on for a lot of them, and then they can, you know, a lot of them might change their mind. They might say, I wanted to do elementary, but I think I'm better with the older kids, or, you know, vice versa. So you know, I think any teacher that signs up for those practicum students is doing a good thing for them. And, you know, it kept me on my toes too. I just, you know, I wanted to look like, hey, I know what I'm doing.
Exactly,
and
right.
I can teach these kids
mutually
to read.
Mutually beneficial, and,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So.
Gosh, that's great. Well, one last part that I wanted to touch on really about the story of you two, and we were able to connect last time you were on campus for this, in fact, is thinking about Morningside and just really that civic responsibility and ethical leadership. And the two of you have stepped up in a really big way for this community. Obviously, Morningside had an impact on you and this community was able to keep you here and grow your careers. But now you're paying it forward with the United Way. And this year, I believe it's your co-chairs for the campaign for United Way. Is that correct?
Yeah, Joy and I are the chairs for this year's campaign.
And talk to me about what that is, what it does, and what it means to the two of you, why you rose to this occasion.
Yeah, so I don't remember. Oh, it was the Lapkeys. Yeah, they had chaired before us.
Yeah.
And Jeff and Pam. Jeff was president of Central Bank.
Yep.
And we knew them pretty well. And they approached us and just said, hey, would you consider doing this? And we knew it was a big time commitment, but like you said, you feel like we need to give back to the community. And if some of our relationships we've built over these years can help United Way, we should offer that. Mm-hmm. So we decided to do that. And it's been a great experience. In fact, in 10 minutes, we have a campaign call. So we'll have to jump on a Zoom call in the car here in a little bit. But it was one way for us to leverage our network that we've built over a lot of years here in this community and try to help United Way with their big fundraiser, which is over $3 million a year that goes to over 33 different agencies in town. You don't even realize how much impact those funds have on people who need help in this community. And it's I really like it because it's a very good organization, so you know your dollars are going to the most needed programs in the city.
And
you don't have to think know, you don't have to decide which charities to give to. You basically give to United Way, and then you know it's going to get to the right places.
Yeah, where there's need.
Yeah, it's an easy way to give. And United Way is a really good organization that's been around for 101 years in Siouxland.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And I really thank and commend the two of you for being willing to answer that call and do this for the community. I might have said the last thing, but I'm going to add one more thing. We actually just came from a luncheon that the two of you were participating in. And so you're looking at the opportunity to not only give back to the community, but give back to Morningside. Joy, can you talk just a little bit about the scholarship luncheon, you know, why you felt compelled to the two of you to give back to Morningside? We've kind of had a narrative of this podcast of paying it forward. Can you talk to me about what that luncheon means to you and why you chose to give back for scholarships?
I think when one of the students went up to say the prayer before we ate, she mentioned that, you know, because of the money brought in from the people who are attending the luncheon, that meant more students wouldn't have to worry how they were going to pay for next semester's classes, or it would keep their attention more focused on their classrooms and not on the financial part of it. Mm-hmm. We were those students back then. I mean, we came from, you know, lower socioeconomic status, and we were those students that had to work really hard.
Yeah.
While we were in college, we always had jobs. We always were full-time students. And it just hit home with me because I had a personal connection with that. And so that's why we give for that.
Yeah, and just thinking about the opportunity to give back and give to students so that they might not have to know that, you know what I mean? Or might be able to put their mind at ease knowing that they don't need to work as much or work as hard or pull an extra shift to try to make ends meet, that they can focus on their schooling to hopefully have a successful career like the two of you had.
Exactly.
Well, hey, I thank you so much. I know you got the Zoom call. I appreciate you taking the time and really giving back not only to this community and our students through internships and your experience as well, Joy, but really the opportunity to give back to our community and our institution here at Morningside. So thank you so much for being on Inside M Side.
You're welcome.
Thanks for everything you do, too.